All right, this afternoon, we are very happy to share with you about research that we've been working on together. As I mentioned before, I'm Heather Pryor. I'm a professor in biology at the King's University in Edmonton. I've been working together over the past year with Christiana Siz, who has just graduated from King's, and it was her senior research project that she devoted to working with me on this project. So we're very excited. I'm very excited, especially that Christiana can present, we can present together, and it's a great opportunity. Wonderful to work with undergraduate students, as I'm sure many of you know. So I'm just curious to know, how many of you in the room are parents? Whoa, okay. Did you get married expecting to have kids? Just a thought. How many of you may have personally or know someone quite close to you personally who's gone through infertility? That is a lot. In general, anywhere between 1 in 6, 1 in 5 couples experience this problem. I am one of those couples, and this project was partially born out of that personal experience. It was initiated together with my colleague Heather Loy, also an ASA fellow at King's, who also went through experiencing infertility personally. And so we had talked about it actually for many years before we embarked on a more formal research project. Now here's another question for you. How many of you have heard a sermon about infertility in your church? Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you heard a sermon about Mother's Day or Father's Day? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How many of you know whether your denomination has some official statements regarding assisted reproductive technology?
Know that they do?
Know whether they do or not. Not too many. All right, and I would consider you quite a well-educated and informed group. So these are some factors. This is an overview of what we're going to talk about with you this afternoon. Some background, how we decided to go about doing a little bit of research in this area. I'm going to talk about some initial results from interviewing Christian couples who've gone through infertility, and then Christiana is going to talk about results interviewing clergy who have been responding to these couples. So, there it is. All right. So here's our couple in the middle thinking about a baby. And of course, they're doing this in a broader social context. One of the predominant values here in North America, I'll just generalize, we're in Canada, but here we're in the States, is individualism. Very, very strong undercurrent in terms of how decisions are made. We specifically chose to work with Christian couples and seek to understand how they face this problem. So we have a greater church community, which may or may not have a formal position, a local faith community, a congregation that most couples are connected with, and finally, the influence of personal faith. So we decided to focus our research with the question, what roles do personal faith and faith community play in the way Christian couples make decisions with respect to using reproductive technology? Now, sometimes we use the acronym ART, that's assisted reproductive technology, in case I forget to explain it. As Heather Loy and I did our preliminary background reading, what we did find was, on the one hand, at the top there, quite a bit of literature put out by certain churches, scholarly journals, bioethics websites, I've got an example of one up there, that are really quite thorough and thoughtful in addressing some of these issues. We also found a lot of emotional support literature, you know, how to deal with the trauma, the grieving that comes along with facing this issue. And here's our couple in the middle. And so we wondered to what degree they were aware of these different factors as they were making decisions in moving ahead on their journey with infertility. So we designed a qualitative research study based on doing interviews with Christian couples. We gave them questionnaires to give us a little more information about their steps that they had gone through in the process of infertility. And then we did in-depth interviews with the couples separately, so with the husbands and with the wives. And then we are in the process of doing a thematic analysis of these transcripts in order to come up with insights into this. So preliminarily, we have found a number of key themes as we've looked at what the couples have told us. For our purposes this afternoon, I want to focus on the bottom two because they relate, they form the background to what Christiana has done in this past year. So the first one is decision-making with respect to the input of the faith community. Generally, participants did not share about their infertility in the faith community. And you'll see a few quotations that come from what they told us, very personal journey, not a community one. This was a common sentiment that we found. In terms of communicating with pastors or other church leaders, it was variable. So in one case, they had tried emailing, but they didn't get a response. There are other examples of couples that did talk to the pastor and got more positive responses, but usually not right away. So in this case, they asked the pastor to pray for them and talk to him a little bit about it. In terms of whether couples were aware or not about whether their particular church or denomination had something to say about the issue, universally, none of them were aware. And furthermore, most of them, it didn't occur to them, and they didn't try to find out about it. So that was very interesting. Another very strong trend we found was that they felt that the pastor or the church shouldn't be making decisions. This wasn't too surprising. They thought that they could ask for counsel if they wanted it, but it, again, was a very personal issue. Kind of flowing out of this, they wanted to know that the church would listen and not provide judgment. And we did hear, although I'm not reporting it here, a diversity of experiences, some very hurtful, from responses that they had received, either usually not so much from official leadership, but often from other members of the congregation that were very painful. Finally, with regard to the church position, the church needs to provide information, connection, and support as needed by the couple. So they felt it would be nice to know that there were some resources available, that the church has already in some way dealt with this, if they were interested that they could pursue them. So in summary, here are a few points that we found after talking with these couples. That infertility was very private, very emotional journey. They did share and find support with family and friends, not so much with the congregation, with the leadership of their congregations. Personal values were important. Definitely not aware of church positions about ARTs, and hope for information, support, and listening from the churches. After we had gone through this process of talking to couples and really hearing their experience, we thought it would be useful to hear from the other side and find out what the clergy were experiencing in terms of their perception of couples' needs and what they had done. And so Christiana's going to talk about that.
Okay. Thank you so much for the introduction. Just for those that walked in a little bit late, my name is Christiana Siz, and I did my senior research project with Dr. Heather Pryor this year. So this section right here is our Edmonton clergy interviews. So I contacted over 30 clergy from 15 different denominations in Edmonton, 9 of which got back to me and responded, yes, I will participate in your study. So this study was conducted in a mini interview format. So I just went to their parish, I asked them a few preset questions and just wrote down notes instead of doing the big recording and having to do all that extra analysis. So I did this for two reasons. First, to get the church perspective on the issue of infertility and assisted reproductive technology use. And secondly, to see if the church had any resources that I had missed in other areas of the research that would be useful to Christian couples. So after my interviews were completed, I did inductive analysis, so qualitative analysis of themes, and I came up with these five themes, which I'm going to talk about a little bit more. The first theme I would like to touch on is experience. So I found in my interview analysis that clergy's experience with infertility was quite varied. It varied from having absolutely no experience at all, which you can see in this first quotation here, which says, zero couples approached them about infertility in a typical year, and they proceeded to ask, is this a faith issue or is this a medical issue? And that was one side of the spectrum. It also ranged to pastors who were very experienced working with couples that had infertility and actively talked about it at their churches. As you can see here, this pastor said, yes, they're familiar with the subject in both a biblical and pastoral care perspective sense. They've talked about it in context when children were being dedicated or christened, in a larger setting when there was a newborn, or at Mother's Day, they were very conscious of it. So they use these as opportunities to talk about the subject instead of just ignoring it, which many churches often do. Another really important theme that I'm pleased to say that all clergy that I interviewed did emphasize that prayer was very important in conversations about infertility, especially with couples. As you can see in these two quotes here that say, couples have asked me for prayer more so than advice, and also that they would offer prayers and support and have prayed for infertile couples in the past. And I think this shows that prayer is strong and it's very important, especially in situations that are so unfortunate, like infertility. Another theme is support and listening. So I found that clergy opted to take a supportive and listening role over an advisory role. They would rather sit back and not make any statements to advise the couples on a particular path or decision. As you can see in these two quotes here that say they want to have no judgment, they want the couples to feel safe, they want to approach things in a way that is not harmful. They emphasized listening, and they said the less talking I do, the better. And I really, really liked this second quote here that says, empower people to make the best decisions they can and walk alongside them to make their own choices and trust that God is guiding them because they want to help empower them through this journey. Another interesting theme is the one that I called medical. So some of the clergy actually strongly expressed that they saw assisted reproductive technology use as primarily a medical issue and that the church should just kind of take a step back and not really have any sort of role. The first quote here says that they should tell them about the resources available, such as abortal health, you know, what's covered by insurance, and encourage both the man and the woman to be tested for infertility. And the bottom one here, this is an approach that one pastor took. They want to get a sense of where they are medically, see how well they are informed about the different treatment options, and talk about what issues are coming up about those, such as cost or emotions. And the last theme I want to talk about is resources. So this theme encompassed any resources that the clergy gave to me directly, if they were aware of any resources, particularly within their denominations, and if they knew whether or not that their church had an official statement. And honestly, most of the pastors didn't even know if their own church had a statement, which is kind of funny. So there were three really big sort of themes that came out of this, or three trends. The first one is represented in the top quote there that says they were hesitant to trust Christian resources because they were scared that they were too outdated or too conservative and that they might push couples in the wrong direction. Other clergy wanted to step back. They said most couples have found their own resources, or at the bottom, they said they have nothing, no specific resources in mind, and that they should just go to the medical clinics for information. The third quote from the bottom is actually a bit of an outlier. We had one pastor that was very active in their community, and they had booklets and books and pamphlets that they would hand out to couples if they heard just through the grapevine that they were experiencing infertility, and they wanted to do it in a way that was anonymous and not too forceful, I guess. But they were very active in making sure that they knew that their pastor was there to help them if need be. So in summary, from my interviews, I found that clergy feel ill-equipped and inexperienced when dealing with couples that are experiencing infertility, and they also like to take a more listening, supportive, and prayerful role over giving direct advice. I also found that they had few Christian infertility resources available or that they were aware of, and this also reinforced that there is a gap between couples and their faith community, especially their clergy. So now that we've strongly established that there is this gap between the church, scholarly public policy discussions, and support groups and couples, how do we fix that? Like, how do we bridge those two things and get a conversation going that would be beneficial to couples? And so where I started with this is I wanted to see what sort of additional resources were out there that were particularly accessible and readily available to couples. So I did what any young person would do. I Googled it. Yeah, I did a Canadian website search where I found 91 different websites that were related to infertility or infertility support, particularly in Canada. And I categorized them into these five different categories, which I'll elaborate on just a little bit. So my biggest category was fertility clinic websites. I found 46 of them. I just wanted to note here that there were some supportive aspects to fertility clinic websites. They weren't just about the prices and the treatments and all the fancy stuff. They had multiple languages for areas that had a large multicultural population, but in clinics that were more rural, they had support for rural patients, such as partnerships with local hotels that offered discounts if the people had to travel really far, which was really neat. Another category was online support. That was the second biggest one with 26. That just included general support resources, general information about procedures that might be a little bit easier to understand than at a clinic, as well as online forums or Facebook groups where you could talk to local people or people online about your experiences. I also found a couple of news articles and also alternative treatment websites. And this was just Edmonton. I found 7 of them. And that was compared to 2 fertility clinics in Edmonton. There was at least 7 alternative treatment websites. So this is a lot more popular and prevalent than assisted reproductive technologies, which I thought was really interesting. And also, alternative treatment centers are partnering with fertility clinics where they will offer acupuncture in addition to your IVF, or they'll offer yoga in addition to different things to try to bring down your stress levels, which is a very interesting collaboration, if I do say so myself. And out of 91 resources that I found, 8 of them were Christian, and 7 of those were American resources. So good job, guys. You're doing better than us. And we found 1 out of 8, which was a Canadian resource, and that was called Hearts of Hope. That's their logo right at the bottom there. And what was interesting about that is 1 is far, far, far better than none, but it's still a long ways to go for Canadian Christian infertility support. So I was pretty dissatisfied with what I found online. There wasn't really anything that bridged these different sectors together, so I thought, well, I'm doing it myself. So I built a website that integrated Christian resources, clinic information, community support, and academia and bioethics in a way that would benefit, or hopefully will benefit, couples in Canada. So I used WordPress.com to build the website. It's called faithfertility.ca, and I thought I would just give you a little tour of the website, if it works. Oh, there we go. Might pop up like 3 times. And just a reminder, this is a work in progress. It's still a bit of a skeleton right now, so don't judge me too hard if it works. Oh, this isn't connected to the internet. Technical difficulties.
The computer's not connected at all.
I don't think so.
If you want to,
yes.
You can view the screen.
Yeah. Go online.
Out of that, just
let's try it.
Which way is the mouse going?
Maybe just shrink it.
Okay, we're just going to minimize it.
Yeah.
Is this thing not connected to the internet at all?
Isn't this?
No, there's no Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna join Gordon Guest.
And that isn't being friendly.
No. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Looks good.
Honestly, I've tested this at like three other presentations and I never had a problem, so of course it's the one time that we don't try.
Yeah, is that laptop on?
Oh, let's see. Come on, back.
It says it is now.
You found it.
You find it on your phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody look at your phone.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to presentation mode.
That's probably what you should do is just have everybody pull it up on their phone and
tell us where to go.
It's right there.
I see what you're doing. I'm connected to that. Okay. Oh, you know what? So you're not
No, I'm not. I don't have that. But that's okay.
Website looks great.
Thank you.
It's a real thing, really.
That's really funny.
Is it just that it's slow? I think it's just the internet not being connected to this. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that's
what's not bad.
Oh, so. So if you have a phone that is working on the internet, here it is, faithfertility.ca. Some people have got it. You could just make a couple comments about it.
I'll make some comments. I mean, for those in there, you can see that we have some information about the project on the website, the researchers. We have some bios about Heather Pryor and Heather Loy. We also have the resources that I found separated into two sections. So there's like the theology section and like the support section. So the theology section has some information that's theological, some Christian support, as well as I made a little prayer blog on Pinterest. So if you're in there and you want to share some prayer requests or some neat photos that you found, you can go and you can pin them to the board. Or you can submit prayer requests and I can post them or prior can post them just on there so we could have a little bit of a prayer community in that sort of sense. There's also, multiple different resources, Canadian clinic information. We also have FAQs and also like some contact stuff if you want to get in touch with us. Our next steps with the website, though, it's a little bit of a skeleton right now. We want to add more resources. The more we find, the more we post. And also kind of get it out there. It's not very popular yet. We haven't really marketed the website very much, and we're also thinking of maybe toying around with the idea of doing maybe a workshop with clergy from the area and getting them familiarized with the website, getting some sort of resources out there that their congregations can then know about the website.
Good.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
That's great. Let's leave it at that. In terms of what the couples were interested in?
Yeah, what they need or what people's concerns are.
Right. There were a lot of, in terms of the experiences that couple had and the questions that they struggled with, a lot of them related as to using technologies like in vitro fertilization that involve embryo creation outside of the body.
What about pre-implantation diagnostics? That's oftentimes part of it.
Yes, yes, that's right. And it seems like the predominant point of struggle or concern that couples faced was the initial decision about going along an assisted reproductive path or not. We ran into many, many different directions that couples took as we talked to them, and I think the experiences, if we can capture them in some ways to offer to other couples going through it at the same time.
Next questions. One, did you find any denominational differences among either the clergy or the participants? And second question, for the clergy who did not want to judge, was it on the basis of lack of or the feeling that they have nothing to offer in terms of Christian ethical advice?
I'll just just say in terms of the couples, and we interviewed a spectrum of denominations, surprisingly little difference related to denomination. Now you can say for the clergy.
For the clergy, I think it's a little bit difficult because I only interviewed one of each denomination, so it's a little bit hard to be like, this individual speaks for the entirety of the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church or whatever, but it seemed to be that the outliers weren't connected denominally, like denominationally, in my opinion. Because even groups that I thought would be more conservative or more liberal actually didn't seem to be that variable. And sorry, the second question was about judgment. It's hard to say. We have to do a little bit more research about it, but I feel like listening and prayer are first and foremost most important anyways, I feel like. And I think the fact that there hasn't been a conversation, they don't want to scare people away, I think would be a good part of it. Like, they don't want people to feel even more unwelcome in the current climate that it seems to be very separated anyways. And so if someone approached them, they don't want to be like, do this, do this, do this, when, you know, it's obviously a very sensitive situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you know, both of us will be happy to talk to anyone afterwards who has more questions. I think we'll move on to our next presenter.
Yeah.